EWTN Global Catholic Radio presents The Priesthood of Jesus Christ. Father Frederick Miller discusses the priesthood through the ages from the Old Testament times to the modern day. Here is Father Miller.
We continue our series on the priesthood of Jesus Christ, and this segment is entitled The Jewish Priesthood. We as Catholics see the Old Testament as a prefiguration of the New. And certainly we understand the Old Testament priesthood as a type or an image, a foreshadowing, a model of the New Testament priesthood. This is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to say on this topic. It's paragraph 1539. The chosen people was constituted by God as a kingdom of priests and the holy nation. But within the people of Israel, God chose one of the 12 tribes, that of Levi, and set it apart for liturgical service. God himself is its inheritance. A special rite consecrated the beginnings of the priesthood of the Old Covenant. The priests are appointed to act on behalf of men in relationship to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. In the covenant that God made with his people on Mount Sinai, he indicated that Israel was to be his chosen people, a people set apart and consecrated, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. The text reads, "On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone forth out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and the holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." The Lord decreed that in the midst of this chosen race, this holy nation, there would be a group of men consecrated and set apart for divine worship. It was they who would lead worship and prayer, first in the tent of meeting in the desert, and then finally in the temple in Jerusalem. It was they who would offer sacrifice to God to expiate the sins of the people of Israel. It was they who would bless the people, who would teach them the law of God. Their special task was to keep alive amidst the people of Israel the sacred memory of God's mighty deeds in history, and especially to keep alive the memory of the Exodus. The celebration of the Passover was entrusted to their care. They were, we might say, the custodians of the sacred memory of Israel, of the sacred memory of the Passover. It has been said that between the institution of the Levitical priesthood, the Old Testament priesthood, and the Christian priesthood, in spite of their differences, the continuity is certainly evident. The priesthood of the Church today is in truth the spiritualized and elevated completion, in other words, the fulfillment of the Jewish priesthood. although the patriarchs and judges exercise priestly functions, Moses appears as the great high priest in the Sinai covenant. The International Theological Commission has this to say about the priesthood of Moses. In the history of Israel, the figure of Moses stands out with a brightness that will only be surpassed at the other pole of the revelation by the Messiah himself. In his own person, Moses assumed the diversity of mediations that later were divided among different persons, kings, priests, and prophets. By his prophetic mission, Moses was in fact the mediator of the Word of God. The charism of his particular vocation made him the leader of his people. By reason of this charism, Moses exercised the priestly office in the name of the people of Israel. Let us look now at Exodus 24, verses 1 to 13. There the text reads, "And he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it upon the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven of clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instruction. So Moses rose with his servant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. See, Moses is acting as priest. He's communicating the word of God and the law of God. He's offering sacrifice. And he's the one who unites the Lord and the people of Israel in the blood of the covenant. Moses exercised a priesthood with sovereignty. He communicated the word of God to the people. He celebrated the sacrifice of the covenant. He interceded for the guilty. He consecrated the tent, the tabernacle, and its holy objects. He anointed Aaron and his sons, priests of the Lord. Moses is the mediator between the Lord and Israel, and their prophet and their priest and their ruler in a special way. And as such, Moses is the prefiguration in the Old Testament of Jesus, the Messiah. Please note that it was the Lord God's direct command to invest Aaron and his sons as his priests. God tells Moses, set Aaron aside and his family and all of his descendants to be priests before my presence. We read in Exodus 40, 12 to 16, you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tent of meeting, and shall wash them with water, and put upon Aaron the holy garments, and you shall anoint him and consecrate him, that he may serve me as priest. You shall bring his sons also, and put coats on them, and anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may serve me as priests, and their anointing shall admit them to a perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so he did. The Lord commands Moses to set Aaron and all of his sons aside as priests of the old law and to consecrate them to his service. The ordination of Aaron and his sons as priests took place through a rite of consecration fixed by God himself, according to the texts of the Old Testament. It included purifications, investiture with garments, and sacred anointing. The rite is described in Exodus 29 and Leviticus 8. You might want to take a look at those texts later. Moses immolated a bullock. He offered God a sacrifice. He took the blood of the sacrifice and placed some of the blood on Aaron's ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the large toe of his right foot. The rite symbolized that the whole person of the priest was dedicated to God and to the priestly service. The same ceremony was repeated for Aaron's sons, for the priests of the Old Covenant. Then Moses placed the sacrificial gifts in the hands of Aaron and his sons as a symbol of their priestly investiture. Moses was commissioning them, empowering them to offer sacrifice to God in the name of the people. Moses also sprinkled Aaron and his sons with the blood of the sacrifice and with holy oil. However, the Pentateuch notes that only Aaron's head was anointed by Moses. You can look at Exodus 29:7, Leviticus 8:12, and also Psalm 133, verses 1 to 2. Aaron held the preeminent place among the priests because of the anointing of his head. Leviticus 21:12 says, "With the anointing oil upon him, Aaron is dedicated to his God, to me, the Lord." The other priests are consecrated by anointing, but not of their head. And so Aaron is the high priest. It was the high priest alone who was to enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to make reparation for his sins, the sins of the other priests, and the sins of all the people. In the later history of Israel, it was he alone who was entitled to anoint the kings. He wore over his chest a breastplate that contained 12 precious stones, representing the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. And so standing before the Lord, Aaron, the high priest, represented the entire chosen people. The book of Chronicles indicates a distinction between Aaron, the high priest, the priests who offered sacrifices, and the Levites who minister in the tent and later in the temple. The church sees in these ranks of the Jewish priesthood a prefiguration of the ranks of Christian priesthood. The bishop is the high priest. The priests assist him in offering sacrifice to God. And the deacons minister, that is, they serve at the altar. So as the high priest, so the bishop is in the New Testament the high priest of his local church, of the diocese, assisted by priests of the second rank and by deacons who serve at the altar. See, for instance, the prayer of consecration of a priest. In the ceremony of ordination, the bishop says, speaking to God, "When you had appointed high priests to rule your people, you chose other men next to them in rank and dignity to be with them and help them in their tasks. As so there grew up the ranks of priests and the office of Levites established by sacred rites. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, the high priest, the priests, and the Levites were not to have any inheritance or any property. The Lord alone was to be their inheritance. They were to be sustained by the people for whom they offered sacrifice to the Lord. They shall have no inheritance. I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. That's from the book of Exodus, chapter 44. Also, Psalm 16 is a priestly psalm. O Lord, it is you who are my portion and my cup. It is you yourself who are my prize. The inheritance marked out for me is my delight. Welcome indeed the heritage that falls to me. The mediation of the temple priesthood, which prefigures the Christian priesthood, may be succinctly characterized as an ascending and descending mediation. What do we mean by that? Well, the priest brings the people to God, and that's the ascending mediation, and he also brings gifts from God to the people. That's the descending mediation, because the priest is, remember, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the mediator between God and the people. The primary task of the Old Testament priest was to offer sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. And on the Day of the Atonement, the high priest offered two sacrifices, once for his own sins and the sins of his sons, the other priests and Levites, and then a sacrifice for the sins of the people. The priests also led the prayer that was constantly offered to God in the temple in Jerusalem. The prayer offered by priests, by the priests and the people, is of course the book of Psalms, the Psalter. This was Israel's great sacrifice of praise. It consisted of praise, adoration, thanksgiving, remembrance of God's saving acts in history, and petitions. So the priest is not only the one who offers sacrifice, but he also praises God in the midst of the people and leads the people into that praise. Priests made intercession and did penance for the sins of the people. The descending priestly mediation. The priests of the Old Testament were teachers of God's law. In the temple, they gave instruction in the Torah, in the law of God. The priests also blessed the people. God himself fixed the formula of the priestly blessing, which we find in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." It was understood that the priestly office demanded great holiness. The holiness was demanded by the closeness of the priest to God in worship. The prophets often rebuked the priests for their insincerity and for their lack of holiness. And so the Jewish priests understood that they had a need to be particularly holy because they came so close to God in the act of offering sacrifice and praying, praising him in the name of the people. The International Theological Commission, which is appointed by the Holy See, says this about the Old Testament priesthood. The limits of the Levitical priesthood were clearly brought to the fore by the experience that Israel made of the deep reality of sin, destroyer of the covenant. There resulted an acute consciousness of the need for an eschatological redemption and a true change in the idea of the priesthood. The prophets clearly foresaw the necessity of a renewed priesthood, a renewed temple, and a new sacrifice that would be able to touch the core of the human person. Before we finish, we must not overlook the great messianic Psalm 110 that the church prays every Sunday at evening prayer. In this psalm, the Messiah is seen as a king and a priest, not in the order of Aaron, but in the line of Melchizedek. The Lord has sworn an oath, and he will not change. You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old. And so right within the Old Testament, there is this awareness stirred up by the Holy Spirit that in the day of salvation, when the Messiah finally comes, that he will indeed be a priest. He will do all of those things and infinitely more than the priests of the Old Testament did. But he will bring their priesthood to absolute fullness and perfection, and he will be a priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Please join us next time for The Priesthood of Jesus Christ with Father Frederick Miller on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.